John chapter 8, verse 20, down through verse 36. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself? Because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge, and I of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, shall we pray. Our Lord, we thank you for the service of the day, and we praise you for it. And we ask our God that thou wilt do the same thing tonight. Lord, there are sinners here that need thee. Open their eyes and deal with their hearts. And then, our God, bring them unto thyself as only thou art able. Thank you now for this time together. And Lord, as we study thy word, speak to us individually and collectively. But most of all, get glory to thyself. We ask it now in thy blessed name. Amen. Our subject tonight, Christ the Great Emancipator. Our lesson falls into these two categories. First of all, we're going to look at the necessity of emancipation. Then secondly, we're going to look at the work of Christ as our emancipator. Now, if you're not saved here tonight, then you are in bondage. And you may not feel it. You may say, Preacher, I don't agree with you. You don't have to, but it doesn't change anything. You're in bondage if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And my hope is the Holy Spirit of God, open your heart, you are in. And I want to say to you again, I want you to rest on facts, not on feelings. It's not how you feel, it's what God says. And God's word is never wrong. And this is what our Lord says about every individual outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are two separate things that stand out. We see the condition of man set forth. First of all, man without the Lord Jesus is under sin's condemnation, the penalty of the law, and the wrath of God. Now turn back to John chapter 3, if you will, and I'll show you what I'm talking about. If you're here tonight without the Lord Jesus Christ, this is your condition. You are under sin's condemnation. Now it doesn't make any difference whether you feel it or not. It's so. It's absolutely so. I read this morning of a man that got killed by a giant Indian king cobra. Now he was a nut to begin with. He thought he could trust that snake. And while he was petting that snake was laying its eggs. And he took his eyes for a second off that snake, and she wheeled around and bit him in the toe, and in 5 minutes he was dead. Now what in the world are you talking about? He had this idea. She wouldn't bite him. It can't happen to me. And that's the condition of a sinner without the Lord God of heaven. The sinner thinks it can't happen to him. But now you're here tonight without the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to look at John chapter 3 and look at verse 18. And this is what God says about every sinner in this room tonight without the Lord Jesus. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. All right, here's the sinner's condemnation. You're not going to be, you are. You've been tried and sentenced and condemned, and you're living under a reprieve. How long? You're under sin's condemnation. Then you're also under the wrath of God. Look at John chapter 3 and look at verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Now, isn't that plain? You're under God's anger. Now, sinner, I'm going to tell you right now, God's not your friend. He's your enemy. And you're his enemy. And you're under his anger. And it is a settled, abiding, personal, absolute, eternal anger unless you get converted. Now, this is your situation. When you say, Pastor, I don't feel like it. I think God hears my prayers. Are you sure? If you're not saved here tonight, you're condemned and you're under God's wrath. The third thing about you is this. You're under the penalty of the law. Now turn to the book of Galatians chapter 3 and look at it very carefully. In Galatians chapter 3 and look at me at verse 10. Galatians chapter 3 verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Now here's the condemnation. A sinner is under God's curse. The curse of the law. Now people come along and say, well, I'll take my chances. There are no chances to take. This is your situation. And others come along and say, well, I haven't done this, I haven't done that. Now, I'm going to tell you again here tonight. Everybody in this room here tonight is a lawyer. Everybody here in this room tonight is a murderer. Everybody here in this room tonight has dishonored their parents. Everybody here in this room tonight is guilty of adultery. Now you say, Pastor, I'm not either. Yes, you are, and I'm going to prove it to you. Turn to James chapter 2 and look at verse 10 and listen to what it said. The book of James chapter 2 and verse 10. And here we have it set forth for our learning. Notice carefully. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Now get that. Everybody in this room, your pastor included, is the man. Guilty of it. You say, Pastor, I haven't murdered anybody. Yes, you have. When you broke one of the Ten Commandments, you broke everyone. God doesn't deal with a sinner halfway. God doesn't say to this sinner, well, you've got this good and you've got this little bad, and the bad outweighs the good, so therefore I'm going to have to punish you. No, sir. God says very clearly, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all points of the law to do them. And then our Lord sums it all up and says point blank to the sinner, sinner, don't try to keep the law. You can't do it. When you break one point of it, you've broken every one of them. Now let's go one step further. Not only that, but we are born in that category. Now you say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Every one of us at one time were in Adam. Now hold your seat, pay close attention. Adam's our fellow head. When Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, we were there. We were in him. When Adam sinned, we sinned. And in the Garden of Eden, Adam broke every one of the Ten Commandments of God that God later on gave on Mount Sinai. So we are born in this world guilty of breaking the tenets of the Lord God of heaven, and therefore we are under sin's condemnation, we are under the penalty of the law, and we are also under the wrath of God. Now that's one thing about man. There's a second thing about man. I'm not describing him. He's not glorified today. He may be pampered and prettied up and everything like that. Now, I saw my brother-in-law yesterday afternoon, and oh, I'll tell you, he looked nice. He did. He looked nice. He had on his black suit, and he had a little powder on his face, and his lips were sealed, and his hands were folded across his stomach, you know. But I'll tell you right now, he's a corpse. He's dead. If we don't bury him and we keep him in that casket, he'll stink. That skin will turn colored. It'll swell. It'll begin to get blotches on it. And it'll give off a putrid odor. Now how come? He's dead. All right? Every sinner's like that. You're a stinking sinner here tonight. Whether you know it or not. And if you don't know it, I hope the Holy Spirit of God will write it on your heart. That you, without the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, you may have deodorant on. I've got some on. I like Old Spice. And people come along, you know, and every time they smell it, they say, you smell good. I said, give me a day or two. And it'll be the other way. Covered up. But man without the Lord God of heaven is a stinking sinner. Now I'm going to prove it to you. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and look at it again. And you'll see this is your condition. And this is the need for emancipation. Because man is a stinking sinner. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, look with me now, verses 15 and 16. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved, and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? All right? Are you in Christ? If you're in Christ, you are a beautiful smelling perfume in the nostrils of God Almighty. If you're not in Christ, you're a stinking, putrid, despicable, rotting corpse of a sinner. You need to be born again. You're the savor of death unto death. And I don't care, you can put your perfume and powder and rouge and all that stuff on, all you want to, but it doesn't do one bit of good, because I'm going to tell you right now, the only way you can change from a stinking sinner into the perfume that smells good in the nostrils of God is through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, people don't like to hear that. But beloved, it's so. And some of you here today, I'm going to tell you right now, open your heart and show you just exactly what you really are before the Lord God of heaven. Because until he does, you can't be saved. And this is what a sinner is. He's under the condemnation, he's under the condemnation and of the law and of the wrath of God. And then he's also not only a stinking sinner, but we see too, he's under the dominion and power of the devil. Now go back to our text, John chapter 8, and look at it. John chapter 8, and we find very, very clearly, this is what it says. John chapter 8 and verse 42. Notice carefully what he's saying. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, well, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. All right, now hold your seat. Here's your daddy. Are you here without Christ? All right, your father's the devil. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. Now, you can get mad at me all you want to, but I'm just reading you what Scripture said. And you have to take it up with God Almighty. A sinner without Christ is under the dominion and power of Satan. Satan is his father. And when the Holy Spirit of God opens your heart, he shows you who you are. And who are you? Act and smell and behave like him. Oh, you say, now, preacher, wait a minute. No, the devil comes around like an angel of light. And people think, you know, he's not such a bad old devil after all. Well, that's just a cover-up. And a lot of people, you know, they get a religious veneer, and they try to look and act and smell like the people of God, but sooner or later, God he strips them from that veneer, and he makes them see who they are. And who are they? They're the children of the devil. Now, your parents here tonight, your kids are the devil. Now, put it down. And the lusts of the devil, they will do. And if God doesn't get a hold of them, you can expect it of them. Because their father is Satan. Not only that, listen carefully. He is also the spirit that works in the children of disobedience. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2 and look at it carefully. Ephesians chapter 2. Notice what it says. Beginning with verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You want to check? We want to find out what your children are like? I'll tell you what you do. You can always find out. Young or old, middle-aged or elderly. They're all kids. All you have to do is say, now, don't do this. Don't you touch that. And then turn your back. You know what'll happen? They'll do it. You're an adult, you're no different. All we have to do is put a sign on the door out there, wet paint, do not touch. Everybody will touch you. You know why? You see, man's basically an unbelieving sinner. and he won't believe. And our Lord says this about a sinner, and a sinner won't accept it. And yet so. Now this is man's condition. Thirdly, as I bring this out, man does not believe in Christ. Go back again, John chapter 8. You see it set forth in our text. In John chapter 8, verse 24, this is what he says. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am here, ye shall die in your sins. Several people walked out this morning. They were crying. Where are they tonight? They're not back. You know what they were doing? Shedding crocodile tears. Want me to tell you something? When you really want to get saved, if you do, you're going to be found in the house of God every time the doors open, if it's possible. Now you will be. And you're not going to let anybody and everybody get in your way. You're not going to come just once in a while. No, sir, my friend. The Scripture says that we are to strive to enter into the kingdom of God. And that means put forth an effort. And I've said it before, I'll say again. If the people of America were as busy serving the Lord Jesus Christ as they are about their jobs, or if they were as interested, I should say, in finding the Lord Jesus Christ as they are about their work that they do from week to week, the vast majority of them would be saved almost overnight. Now, what are you talking about? Well, I'll tell you this. People get what we call sabbaticitis. You ever hear of it? Titus. It starts about 8 o'clock on Sunday morning. And the first thing that happens is the person gets a headache. And, oh, they begin to feel bad. And they may start sneezing or something like that, you know, and they say, well, I just don't think I better go to Sunday school today. And then about 10 after 10, the headache's gone. Others will do it again at 11 o'clock. They have sabbaticitis. By noon, they feel fit as a fiddle. They can go out and play ball. They can go out and do this. They can do that. They can do that. But, oh, come to church on Sunday night. No, I don't feel that good. I think I'm going to stay home because I just don't feel like I ought to be there. I just don't feel up to it. I'm so tired. And are you listening? By 9 o'clock, it's all gone. Monday morning, boy, I tell you, bright and early, they're up with a spring in their step. Off to work they go, and they don't get sabbaticitis again until next Sunday. You like that? I hope not. Now, why do I tell you this? Man does not believe Christ. He doesn't believe the Lord Jesus Christ. And some of you here today, we laid it out for you just as plain as we possibly could. All right, and I asked you this simple question this morning, and I'm going to ask it again tonight. Will you right there, yes or no, trust the Lord Jesus Christ, and you say no? Or you're going to use the excuse, I can't. The servant didn't ask Rebecca that. They said to Rebecca, wilt thou go with this man? And they waited on that question. And tonight you have this opportunity again. Will you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, yes or no? For your diabolical unbelief of the Lord God of heaven. And you won't believe it. Now man does not believe the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's his trouble. Then we find also, man cannot cease from sinning. Now why not? Because man is destitute of any righteousness. Isaiah 64:6, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Man also is destitute of wisdom and strength. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, we were without strength in due time. Christ died for the ungodly. You see, you're without strength. Secondly, you're also filled with an enmity against God. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, so that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, sinner, this is you. I don't care if you're one of my deacons. I don't care if you're a Sunday school teacher. I don't care who you are. If you haven't come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, this is what you are before God. And you've got to repent and come to Christ. Now here's the need of emancipation. This is the kind of a sinner that man is. And I'll go one step further, and I'm probably going to blow some of your minds, so to speak. But I'm going to tell you this. No sinner can even think a godly thought. Now hold your seat on that. No sinner can even think of godly thought. Why not, preacher? The Spirit of God's not in him. He doesn't understand God. He's blinded. And he can only think of himself or herself. And beloved, that's the terrible condition of the individual at this hour. Coupled with that, man's blinded. He's blind in sin. Blinded. And oh, how sad it is. I talked with some folks last night that I graduated from high school with 50 years ago. Come to find out, one of them had gone to Moody Bible Institute in 1943, never went back. Many of them had a form of religion. They think they're all right. But they never seen themselves as God sees. Have you in your heart and show you your need of Him. Now go back to John chapter 8 for a few moments and let's look at the work of the Lord Jesus Christ as our emancipator. Notice carefully, if you will, in verse 34, Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a slave or servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever." Now, I could go on and speak for the whole hour on the depravity of the sinner. But I don't want to leave you here without hope. Before you leave tonight, I want to show you that the Lord Jesus Christ is our great emancipator. Now, a lot of people today, you know, they look to everybody else to be their Messiah. But he's not. He's not their Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only Savior there is. And as a Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ had to perform a work to emancipate us. When Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation, we were in the middle of a civil war. And when he signed that proclamation, he made every black man free. Are you listening? The Confederate States laughed at it. Now why? They said, "Well, you come on down here and make them free and we'll show you." And the worst war America ever had was the Civil War. And when he signed that Emancipation Proclamation, I'm going to tell you right now, it took a long, long time as far as this country was concerned. It took a long time and it involved a whole lot of sweat, blood, and tears before the black people were emancipated from their slavery. Now the proclamation was true. It took the power of the Union to enforce it. And our Lord says very clearly in verse 36, here's the emancipation, "Son, to make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Now what does that involve? Well, it involves simply five things, and I hope I have the time to give them to you tonight. But we find that the work of the Lord Jesus Christ as our emancipator, first of all, settled once and for all the sin question. Now, how did he settle the sin question? Because my Lord became sin for you and me, that we through him might be made the righteousness of God. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and look at verse 21 and listen to what it says. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 and listen to it. "For he hath made him to be sin for us." And I put that, "he who knew no sin," because that's what the original Greek brings up. And I like it better. Now the English, your English version, like mine, says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin." But the Greek puts a little emphasis on there and puts another pronoun in there, and it says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, he who knew no sin." And that was the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now here's the Lord Jesus. He settled the sin question once and for all. He became sin for us on the cross, and in his own body, he bore our sins on the cross of Calvary. Now that's one aspect. The second one was this. He buried our sin in the grave under his blood. Now preacher, what in the world are you talking about? All right, go back to Leviticus chapter 16. And we find in verse 21 and 2, you have it pictured for us by the high priest. Leviticus chapter 16 and verses 21 and 2. And listen to what it says. Notice carefully. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions in all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man. Listen, the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities into a land not inhabited, and he shall let the goat, he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. Now what do you have here? The scapegoat. Our Lord became the scapegoat. Now, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, people have said over and over again, well, you're not going to make me the scapegoat. I'm not going to take all the blame. Well, my Lord did. He took all the blame. Your blame and mine. And the blame of all God's elect. He took it. And you know what he did with it? He bore it in his own body because the Lord Jesus Christ is the personification of the scapegoat in the wilderness. What did he do? He bore all our sins in his own body. Then he did something else. He took our sins and buried them in the grave under his blood, and they are separated us from us forever. God won't bring them up. Nobody else can bring them up. And they're buried in the land of forgetfulness. And you know where that is? That's the grave. Now, where in the world do you find that? Well, turn back to the book of Ephesians. Let me show you. Shows you where the Lord Jesus did. What he did when he died. Look carefully. The book of Ephesians. Chapter 4, and look to me at verses 7 through 10, where the Scripture says these things. Listen to it. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Well, what did he do? I'll tell you what he did. He took your sin and mine and buried it in the grave. And left it there. Aren't you glad? Now, that's for you, if you know the Lord Jesus. If you don't, you still have the sin question for you to answer. The next thing the Lord Jesus did was this. He satisfied the law, the holiness, and the wrath of God. He fulfilled the law in his life and in his death. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? All right, go back again to John chapter 8. It's brought out there for us. John chapter 8. And our Lord says very clearly these words. Listen to it. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? Now, what in the world are you talking about? Which of you convinceth me of sin? Which of you can point your finger at me and say I've sinned? Nobody could. Because the Lord Jesus Christ did not sin. He knew no sin. He had no sin. He committed no sin. Yet God made him to be sin for us, that we through him might be made the righteousness of God. Now what did he do? He satisfied the law. He satisfied it by his life. Then he satisfied it by his death. Turn to Galatians chapter 3 and look at verse 10. And you'll see what I'm talking about. The book of Galatians chapter 3 and look with me at verse 10. And listen again, or verse 13, I should say. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. Now, you know why he died on a tree? You see, he fulfilled the law. The law said everybody that's hung on a tree is cursed. And so our Lord was crucified and hung on a tree. He became cursed of the law. Because when he did, when he took of the law, he fulfilled it in his life, and he fulfilled it also in his death. And in so doing, he satisfied the law, he satisfied the holiness, and the wrath of God Almighty. Now the third thing the Lord Jesus did also, he subdued Satan by absolutely defeating and conquering him. Now you sinners here tonight are in Satan's kingdom. And Satan had over you the power of death. He doesn't have it any longer. The Lord Jesus has that. Now, preacher, what in me are you talking about? Every time a person dies, the Lord Jesus knows about it. And he permits it. Whether that person dies as a believer, or whether that person dies and goes to hell, that person does not die without the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why not? Because he's got keys of hell and of death and of the grave. And they became his. Now how come? He conquered. Verse chapter with me. Verse 14 and 15. Verse 14 through 16 where we read. Forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now what do you have here? He conquered Satan. Not only that, he made a show of him openly. Where, preacher? On the cross. Satan was absolutely defeated on the cross by the Lord Jesus on the cross of Calvary. He conquered him absolutely. And he took away the power of death that Satan had at one time. Then he did something else. He substituted himself, the Lord Jesus did, he substituted himself as our Redeemer and Mediator. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about there? All right, here's the work of his emancipation. You see? Now, let me just illustrate that, if I may. When Abraham Lincoln signed that Emancipation Proclamation, it was sent throughout the whole country. And it also came down into the South where some of the slaves were. And some of the slaves looked at it. And they said, well, Mr. Lincoln says we're free. But they couldn't walk off the plantation. They were held there. They were not made free until the power of the Union was exercised to make them free. Now, are you listening? Our Lord offers you tonight eternal life. He says, I'll make you free. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Now I've given you your condition. And the Lord Jesus Christ is able to make you free. Why? Because he's conquered all the things that are in the way. And not only that, he became our substitute as our Redeemer and our Mediator. Now how did he do that? By becoming identified with us. You see, we have a God-man in the heavens. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. Is he your God-man? Oh, I hope and pray is. If he's not, then Satan's your boss. You see, the Lord Jesus is my boss. I pray he is. If he's your boss and he's my boss, I'm going to tell you right now, you and I are going to get along, aren't we? And if we don't, something wrong. And we recognize that very clearly. And our Lord, how did he become our boss? He substituted himself as our Redeemer and our Mediator. Now that involved his incarnation. We don't serve an ethereal Christ. We serve the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the God-man. He was born of a baby, just like we were. He grew to manhood and womanhood, like we have, and like some of you are. He died on a violent death, and yet he also died a peaceful death. You say, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? It was a violent death because he was put on the cross by wicked hands, your hands and mine. But it was a peaceful death in that this is what he said. He checked off all the scriptures, and when he went through the whole Bible and checked off all the scriptures, and he came to this portion of scripture where it says, I thirst, and so he said, I thirst that the scriptures might be fulfilled, and after that took place, you know what he did? He cried out with a loud voice and said, it is finished. And then he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he bowed his head majestically and gave up the ghost. Peaceful. No struggling. And are you listening? In a little way, we see an inkling of that when a believer dies. You see, an unbeliever struggles. A believer doesn't struggle. Now they don't. They die peacefully. And my sister told me yesterday when we were over there, she said, I was holding my husband's hand. And it was Art. She said, I was holding Art's hand, and at 7:34 in the morning, she said, he just gave a... And she said, then he went... And he was gone. No struggle. I've been at the bedside of individuals that have struggled, boy, I tell you. But they were unbelievers. You see, the Lord Jesus died peacefully. And you and I, if you're in Christ, you'll die peacefully. Yes, you will. And I'll tell you this. He died because he's our Mediator and our Redeemer. And now, but I'll tell you this. We don't serve a dead Christ. I serve a living Savior. He's in the world today. And not only that, I walk with him. and I talk with him. And Brother Wayne asked me tonight, he says, I guess it's kind of difficult, isn't it, to preach your relative's funeral? I said, no. I said, not know where they're going. Makes all the difference in the world. Because I have a message of hope to those people. That their father is not dead. He's gone home to glory. Their husband is not dead. He's just departed from this life. He said good night down here, and he's waiting for us to get up there, so we'll say good morning up there. That's what it is. And death has no sting for a believer. You know why? My Lord took the sting away. He's our emancipator. And he's seated now at the right hand of the Lord God Almighty. Then he did something else. He sat down at the completion of his work. Now, preacher, what were you talking about? Take your Bibles now and turn back with me to Hebrews chapter 9 in this closing moment. Hebrews chapter 9. Look with me at verse 24. Notice, for Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the truth, but not into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now, preacher, what were you talking about? Well, he sat down. Where is he? He's seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Hebrews 1 brings that up. He's waiting for the time when his enemies will be his footstool, and then I'm going to tell you again, he's going to come back again in power and great glory. Now, everybody here is going to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll either meet him in mercy and grace in this life, or you're going to meet him in judgment. But you have an inevitable appointment to meet the Lord Jesus Christ personally. And I hope for your sake, it will be in this life, in mercy and grace. Now let me give you this in closing. Are you listening? Go back to John chapter 8. And let me show you. The book of John chapter 8. And look at me at verse 21. And listen to what our Lord told these religious Jews, and he's telling it to people at this hour. In John chapter 8 and verse 21. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Now that's true, unless you're in Christ. Then, in John chapter 8, verse 24, he said again, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins. Now, preacher, what were you talking about? Well, there's no salvation outside of Christ. Look again, verse 51, same chapter. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never... And you know what the saying of Christ is to every sinner here tonight? I'll tell you, it's two things. Number one, repent. Number two, believe. God has given a command to a sinner to repent, and God has given a command to a sinner to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to leave it with you. You've heard what he is. You've heard your own condition. I'm going to ask you a question. You're going to stay that way? You can't walk out of here the same. You'll walk out of here just a little harder and a little further to hell. Or you can walk out of here tonight redeemed, regenerated, and rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him. He'll not turn you down. Sinner, come to Christ now. Not tomorrow. Now. Because today is the day of salvation. Shall we stand? Take your songbooks and turn to number 254. And let's sing a couple stanzas. 254.
Well, I'm going to ask you a question. You want to be saved tonight?